You're listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Wisdom of the Ancients. I'm your host, Ian Shelley. Thank you so much for joining us, for being in this space, for contributing your energy to this beautiful sacred space that we have here for everyone. The Wisdom of the Ancients series is about ancient wisdom. It's about what was once known, what was once remembered, and maybe right now it's just simply forgotten. Maybe right now it's simply wanting to come through. Wisdom from not only our own dimension and our own planet, but all dimensions, all realms, all galaxies. And so right now we're also celebrating our light within. So the theme for this series is celebrating your light within, really honoring the creation that is within every single one of us. And so right now we ask that the ancient ones come in right now. We call on the beings of love, light, power, and service to support us today, to be with us, and to open our hearts. And so we have an amazing guest for you today. Let me introduce our next guest. Peter Tung, having spent 30 years in two top-ranking independent schools in Canada and in the UK, he uses his wealth of experience to gain a profound understanding of the complexities of the human condition. His heart-centered understanding of science and the spirituality, offer a powerful pathway to successful living in this chaotic and confusing time. For the last 4 years, Peter has been helping people gain an understanding of the gene keys process through one-on-one counseling and in group workshops. So interesting stuff. So welcome, Peter. Welcome to Wisdom of the Ancients.
Well, thanks, Ian. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, exciting. Very exciting. So you today are going to be talking about navigating through life's challenges via the gene keys. And before we get started, let me just tell everyone. So everyone on the webinar page, if you're on the webinar page, if you'd like the opportunity to get a reading from Peter, and it's a gene key reading, so you'll be able to ask one question by pressing *2 on your phone to raise your hand. Make sure you go to the webinar page. And on that webinar page, you will see a link towards the bottom. It says gene key profile. Click that link, submit it, and then bring that information with you, so to speak, to the call. And so that is also posted on the Facebook group if you're on the Facebook group, or right there on the webinar page. And Peter will take questions from people related to their profile. So I just wanted to make sure everyone is aware of that. And then also towards the end of the call, Peter's going to take us through a beautiful process where I'll let Peter talk about that towards the end, but there's going to be a beautiful process and meditation towards the end, so make sure you're on for that. But again, if you wanted to have a chance for your free gene key profile, make sure you click that link and submit it. So start to raise your hand. Well, beautiful. You know, Peter, let's go ahead and get started, because you've had a interesting journey from high school principal or school principal, excuse me, probably to a modern day mystic and working with the gene key. So, you know, to many people as onlookers, this might look at they might look at this as a departure from, you know, your previous life to something new. So maybe could you walk us through maybe briefly a little bit of your own personal journey and how you came to learn about the gene keys and now really embody them in such a passionate way?
Yeah, thank you, Ian. And it's definitely a second incarnation in this lifetime. So I was a regular guy playing rugby, drinking beer, and being a chemistry teacher in my former incarnation. And essentially what happened was, when I became the principal, which I was for 13 years, in a boarding school, the kids knew me at a different level than they normally would as a principal. And so the so-called indigo children started coming to me to tell me their stories about what they knew beyond what most people would know. And typically they would have things like precognitive dreams. They would know something was going to happen before it happened, and then it actually did happen, sometimes in their own lives, sometimes on the world stage. And that was awesome, and it was also scary. And so these children started, they talk to each other. They don't tend to focus on the same things that most kids do. So they got together and they tell each other, you know, go and talk to Mr. Tung, he understands this. And what became really clear was that the current educational system just doesn't work for these kids. They don't learn in a logical, sequential way. They learn through a much more Mandela type, bringing everything together into a holistic pattern. So my intention was to create schools for these kids. So I made this ridiculous decision to leave this wonderful job that I had, which it was, and I thought I was setting up schools for these kids, and that just didn't happen. It fell apart before it began, and so I thought, okay, there's obviously something else here for me. So I opened myself up to spirit and said, okay, I've given up the best job in the world and total security, and now what? And the first thing that happened was I started helping people cross over, and I had no background at all in that except for leading meditations. But my best buddy at the time, who's still my best buddy now, had gone through the full near-death experience. He died for 20 minutes and came back. And what we learned was that as we were doing these meditations around the hospital bed often with these people in their last few days of life, that when they actually passed over, he was escorting them across and then coming back because he'd been on the journey. He'd died and come back. So he knew the route, the template. And so he actually brought back first-hand information, knowledge of what happens to us when we die. And the great news for all the listeners to know is we had to stop doing that because he was getting so blissed out, he didn't want to come back. So, and he has a family, his own three children and a wife, and so I said, I'm not going to guide you through this process and have you decide not to return. So we stopped doing it. But the great news is the frequency of light and heart-centered love on the other side is just magnificent. So no one needs to be concerned. The judgment day that we've been led to believe just isn't the case. It's a beautiful, loving, compassionate place. And the only thing getting in our way is our own old-fashioned beliefs about what the judgment day is. So it's our own belief system that causes the problems if we're stuck in old religious dogma that prevents us from just going to the light. So that was the first experience. Then the second experience was I had this remarkable opportunity to go to the alchemical furnace. There is a fully functioning alchemical medieval furnace man living here in British Columbia. And I had the chance to go to the furnace with him. And I wouldn't recommend anybody do it. It's the most dangerous thing you can possibly do. Because when you open the metals up, as they say, you give the metals their own consciousness, and the first thing they want to do is escape, set themselves free. So the alchemist said this, Ian, if you can imagine this scene, we're standing out there, pitch black, 10:30 at night, in the winter, January the 11th, minus 10 degrees Celsius, and he looks at me and he says, you sure you want to do this? Because only four things that can happen, and three of them we die. The first one is the metals will jump out of the pot and plate us, and we will die. The second is there will be an explosion, and we will die. The third is that it will give off a white ghost, which is a poisonous gas, and we will die. Or we can go into co-creation with the minerals and metals, and together the consciousness of our being and their consciousness will take the metals and the minerals on this grail quest into the higher frequency metals of gold, platinum, and silver from the base metals of iron, tin, and lead. Are you sure you want to do this? And I said, yes. And I stood at the furnace absolutely naked. Oh, I had clothes on, but I mean, yeah. totally vulnerable. But I didn't have any protection. Just one pair of goggles. That's all I had. And it was just absolute total faith and trust that the universe was on my side and that my heart was open enough to go into that co-creation. And what that did was gave me the opportunity to understand at a very profound level how transmutation takes place through any living system, and the metals themselves have that level of consciousness. So I now know that by understanding that process, it assists me in helping people transmute those frequencies. Because if you can do it with the base metals, then you can certainly do it with people.
Wow. And wow, what a story. What a story. So I have to ask you, at some point, you learned about this furnace. And at some point, something inside of you said, this is something that either I want to do or I need to do. And so, what was that experience like? What was that, well, you know, event like? Yeah.
Yeah, it's all governed by synchronicity, and that little jump you get inside to know, yes, this is what I'm supposed to do. And so synchronistically, events take place which push you into these circumstances, and then you either go, yes, yes, or you get those chills, the goosebumps, or you get that slightly sinking, dull feeling, and you go, no, that's not right for me at this time. And so that's what actually happened in this case. It was a completely, completely out of the blue opportunity that came up, and I didn't know anything about alchemy at the time. Chemistry was my subject at the university and as a teacher, but alchemy doesn't obey the rules of chemistry, and I had a vague understanding of what was going on. But then when I started to research it later, I understood that the alchemist knew exactly what he was doing, and what we were doing was the most dangerous of all the alchemical methods. Thank you very much.
It was the
fastest track. Yeah. So
interesting.
To answer your question, though, there are moments in the process where you just know that you're in this incredible co-creative process with Creator. Mm. And at one point, these metals just started to give off this incredibly beautiful smell, almost like what in England we'd have called a hot toffee apple, a hot caramel flavor. And I thought, wow, how can that possibly happen with metals and minerals giving off this beautiful fragrance? And the alchemist looked at me and he said, the acorn has cracked. And I said, is that a good thing? And he said, oh, yes. And so it just went from there in this profound understanding of what we don't understand from our science and how we need to go beyond the limitations, which quantum physics is now doing beautifully, thank goodness.
Yeah, right. Well, let me ask you, so, you know, moving from the alchemy to the gene keys, was there a path between the two? Was there a link between the two? Or, you know, how did you come to work with the gene keys?
So that's a great question. And the link between the two is a radio show. So having left the school and having had the experience with the alchemy, I then did my own radio show, very much like you, for 5 years on Voice America, called Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation. And near the end of the 5 years, this was in 2014, I realized, as you may realize eventually, that being a host of a radio show was fantastic and it was really reaching the people, but my mind was becoming saturated with information, and I realized that wasn't the answer to my own spiritual journey. So again, having made the decision to leave the school, I made the decision to leave the radio show, which again was crazy. I had a huge listenership, but I just knew it was complete and over. And one of the last interviews I did was with Richard Rudd. And Richard is the founder of the Gene Keys process. And he was coming on a North American tour, and that was why I was having him on the radio show. And so he came on the show, and we had a great rapport, just like we are today, Ian. And he gifted me the Gene Key process and the book. And I looked into it and thought, wow, this is fantastic. And the following week, so it was a Wednesday afternoon that I did the show with him. The following Wednesday, he came to Vancouver to do his first workshop. And then he was flying down to Portland and the Bay Area to do two more workshops. And he went into Vancouver Airport, where the American border control is in the Vancouver Airport. And the American border guards turned him back. They wouldn't let him into the country. Best decision they ever made. So he went back to his hotel room, and he did his Portland retreat remotely. He spent 2 days in front of the computer, 12 hours, leading this facilitation of this workshop with the people in Portland in the Unity Church with a big screen looking at Richard. And so during that time, he was obviously feeling pretty disappointed. He cancelled his Bay Area trip, and he emailed me, and he said, can I come over? So the next thing I knew, I was greeting him off the ferry in Victoria from Vancouver, and he was next in my house. So another ridiculous
yeah,
event,
right,
telling me,
yeah,
this is important. Pay attention.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the universe saying, okay, Peter, you're going to be an emissary or an ambassador.
That's
and,
right.
And here you are. So here you are on the Wisdom of the Ancients with a lot of people listening in. So I'd love to really get into, you know, the gene keys themselves. You know, so you know, if you can just imagine that no one here on the call, which won't be true because a lot of people do know about Gene Keys because they followed you or are following you. But if you can just, for the sake of those of us or those people who don't know much about the Gene Keys, would you mind giving us an overview first and foremost?
Absolutely. And I should start by just saying that, you know, Richard himself is a genius. And what happened was in 1996, he had a complete three-day out-of-body altered state experience. Didn't eat, didn't sleep. This is his second situation like that. The first time, I wish I'd been with him with a camera, because he was out in the world in this absolutely blissed-out ecstatic state. But the second time it happened in 1996, he went into his study and he stayed there for the whole time. And he was shown how creation took place through the sacred geometrical patterning that condenses into the 64 hexagrams of the Chinese I Ching, and how those 64 hexagrams coincide precisely with the 64 codons in our DNA. And so in all of us, all of creation resides, very much like you said in your introduction, creation resides in all of us. And so what the Gene Key process does, it unravels those codes back to our true divine nature. And so it took Richard 7 years to put that three-day experience into some form that would make sense to the rest of us. And Richard was a poet and an English literature major at university, so he writes absolutely beautifully. So the sort of encyclopedia of information behind this is in a book called The Gene Keys by Richard Rudd, where he goes through an explanation of the three levels of frequency that we exist in within these 64 codes. So he explains the 64 chapters correspond to the 64 codes. And so each code has a shadow frequency, which is what we're looking to transmute and transcend and understand, bringing us into the gift frequency, which is what we want to live in on our daily lives. And then the third level of frequency is called the city frequency, which is a divine essence. And that divine essence will tend to descend upon us when it is time, when it's time for it to incarnate into us through our higher self coming into form. And so what tends to happen is we get little glimpses of those acidic states of joy, of peace, of love, of intoxication, of exquisiteness. And what's really important is not to try and understand that or analyze it. If you do, as soon as you go into the mind, it goes away. So we just want to embrace it, let it saturate us with its beautiful frequency of loving light at every single cell in our body. So if the people have got the profile in front of them, you'll see around the outside circle, there are these little gray structures, and they are the 64 hexagrams of the I Ching. It's a binary code, so it can be a solid line or a broken line, and those six lines make up 64 possible combinations. And every year, the sun moves around that disk just once. So each gene key gets illuminated by the sun for just under 6 days each year. So according to your birthplace, your birth time, and your birth date, the 11 codes in your gene key profile are the codes that were being ignited by the position of certain planets, the Sun, the Earth, the Moon, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter. And it's through those that we get these 11 spheres which represent you in terms of the moment of your birth through those frequencies. So, for example, the one at the very top of the profile, the life's work, is the gene key that the sun was illuminating on the day that you were born. Now, for those people who've got the profile in front of them, you'll see a number, a decimal point, and another number. So the first number is the gene key that was being illuminated by the sun on that day. And the number after the decimal point is which line of the hexagram was being illuminated. So there are only six lines, so the numbers after the decimal point will just be numbers 1 through 6. And those numbers correspond to the chakras. So this is the sort of theme through which you live your life out in that jinti. So line one is the base chakra, line two the sacral, three the solar plexus, four the heart, five the throat, and six both chakras in the head, the third eye and crown. And Ian, I'm looking at today's profile, so you can look up a profile for any day in history. If you want to find out the profile of anyone or any circumstance, any events, then you can just plug in that information into the profile. So, for example, when I'm working with people who are starting up a new business or a new project, I'll get their profile and the profile of the beginning of the project and look at the two to see where the compelling connections are and where the positive things are and what the challenges might be. So today, then, we're under the energy, the sun is illuminating the 51st gene key and the fourth line. So the life's work is 51.4. So what that means is the fourth line is the heart chakra. So anybody born today with this frequency, the most important element in their lives is the quality of their heart. And so they're going to be wanting to work through their lives, checking in very closely to where their heart is. Is it prepared to be soft and open and kind and loving and generous? Or if they've had any rejection, betrayal or abandonment in their lives, their heart may have shut down to protect itself and to protect them. So the quality of the heart of this person is critical. And the 51st gene key, sorry, go on.
Yeah, I just wanted to hopefully not interrupt, but maybe interject for a second. So if we get a chart, it's going to, can you explain some of the reasons why someone would want to get a chart and some of the benefits of doing so, so that we can really provide that context? There will be a lot of people actually who won't be looking at the charts right now. So just provide some context, you know, so let's, you know, maybe even compare and contrast. If someone gets their chart and they get a reading and it explains certain things about themselves, how would that differ from someone who doesn't have access to this information, for example? So maybe keep that in your consciousness as you answer.
Yeah. So everybody benefits from the profile. And even if you don't know the time of your birth, we can still do a session based upon the day and the location. So if you don't know the precise time, we can still work with this. But within the profile, Ian, there are three sequences. The first sequence is called the activation sequence, and this is where you get your core physical stability by understanding the four spheres on the outside of the profile. So this is about you getting your grounding in the world. So, for example, there are some people who, as a result of their life's experiences, as a result of their genetics, are not actually fully in their body. And they think they are, but they pop out very, very easily. And so it's very hard for those people to manifest whatever it is that they want because they're not fully present in their body. And so the gene keys will reveal that to us through that process. So that's the activation sequence, and they are the four spheres on the outside, the green spheres. Then the second sequence is called the Venus sequence. And this is where we take a deep dive into our relationships and our childhood. So there's a sphere called the attraction sphere, which governs all of the primary relationships that we engage in our lives. And so some of those people, we have wonderful, open-hearted, loving, kind relationships, and others are a challenge. And so we look into those challenging ones to see what it is about these people that trigger some reaction in us. And this is where we really start the deeper level of the work, is to really begin to see why it is that I'm reacting to this person, whatever they're saying, whatever they're doing. And then from there, we move into the three trimesters of your mother's pregnancy and the first 21 years of life. Because your genetics and your childhood conditioning is what creates the blockages to you setting yourself free, completely free, to be your true divine nature and live a life of prosperity, abundance, and peace. And so now we go through that Venus sequence, reflecting upon, this is what we do in the session with me, reflecting upon what happened in your childhood at certain stages. And it's amazing how precise and accurate these gene keys are. So I can ask someone a very specific question, as I did yesterday, for example, what happened to you between the age of 8 and 14 where you felt as if you had the rug pulled from under you and you lost confidence in yourself? And most people can tell me straight away what it was. Other people, it comes later during the session, they suddenly get this aha moment. Or it can be a few days later that it suddenly comes. Because this is an energetic transmission. So it starts bubbling up inside us and it starts bringing to the surface stuff that's been hidden. In fact, just having this session today on this call with you and with the people listening, they will start getting things happening in their lives. They'll start getting awarenesses they didn't have before. Things will happen that will show them things they need to see in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so there's three components. There's the mental component, the IQ, the emotional component, the EQ, and the physical component, the SQ. And these three are the deepest levels of work that we need to do in getting an understanding of the blockages that we're carrying in our lives. And slowly but surely, these blockages unravel. And the way that it works is you start catching yourself in these old repetitive patterns that you've lived by, and your awareness starts increasing. And so now you catch yourself in those moments. And one of the most important things to do is to pause, is to slow down, breathe, and step out of the pattern. And then eventually, when you catch yourself before you even start the pattern, then there's an actual physical change in the DNA, and you won't repeat that pattern again. So this is the way in which this process through the gene keys ties in perfectly with the epigenetics of Bruce Lipton when taking conscious control over your bodily functions. So there's this process that's laid out for us to move through these particular sequences, beginning with the activation sequence, then the Venus sequence, and then finally the Pearl sequence. So I'll just carry on, if that's okay with you, into the final step, which is an error on the profile, unfortunately, which is the vocation sphere. And that vocation sphere also contains what's called the core wound. And the core wound is the deepest wound that we carry, and it is the moment of conception. When our parents conceived us, and they imprinted into our DNA the sacred wound of our ancestors. And so what we are now realizing in this moment of consciousness is that we have actually agreed to clear this wound on behalf of the ancestors, as well as on our own behalf. And because we know the gene key and we know the line number, we know exactly what we need to do to clear this. Whether we know the history behind the family doesn't matter. It can be helpful, but it doesn't matter because we know what that frequency is in the shadow of the wound and the line shadow that goes with it. So that then brings us to the end of the Venus sequence. So the deepest core wound in the core wound of the vocation transmutes and transforms into the Pearl sequence, which is what you are here to do now out in the world. So you take all of this inner learning that you've gained through the process and you bring it back out into the world in the way in which you're going to offer yourself in service in the world. And those are the four blue spheres at the top, the Pearl sequence. And this is now all those people and circumstances and synchronicities you're going to attract into your life to help you fulfill your divine mission.
Wow, it's pretty powerful stuff, and we've only scratched the surface, and this is just an example. So I think what we can do now, if it works for you, is we can maybe take a couple of callers to help, shine some more light on this and bring some more context and do some real-world examples that people can relate to. So everyone, if you'd like to have the opportunity to ask Peter a question, *2 to raise your hand. And Peter won't be able to go through your whole chart, of course. You know, this is a show, so we'd like to get to as many as we can. So *2 to raise your hand. And So, Peter, what are people going to be doing? Are they going to be telling you what's, you know, on their chart, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, what they want to do is, again, intuitively choose just one sphere, and all I need to know is which sphere it is, and the word is written at the top of the sphere, and the gene key and the line number, and I can just do a little quick reading for them with just that information. So which sphere it is, the gene key number, and the line number.
Okay, so the gene key number is the number that's within the sphere.
Before the decimal point, yeah. So they just need to say the Pearl 11.2. That's all I need. And if they have a specific question they want to ask around that, that's even better.
Okay, all right. So we're just going to open up the phone lines one at a time, and let's see where we're guided. Okay. So we're going to go to Baltimore, Maryland, and the number is, the last four digits of the phone number are 4022 Baltimore, Maryland, and you're on live with Peter.
Hi, Peter. This is Sally. I'm excited.
Good. Excellent. Lovely to meet you, Sally.
I'd like to, the sphere I feel like talking about is culture, and I'm a 34-1.
Okay, 34-1. So the culture then is in the Pearl sequence, and this is about you out in the world once you've done the inner work through the Venus sequence. And the line one is, you'll see there it says line one, individual. That means in your future work, it's about you being at the center of that work. It's not you working in partnership or part of a group. You are the key person in your future work. So you'll see with the 34th, it's a great number actually, because the 34th, you'll see that the word is force, strength, and majesty. So what you want to image yourself now is this giant redwood tree anchored deeply into the earth, and now you become this central anchor point for attracting, magnetizing the people into your life who are going to benefit from the work that you do. And the 34th gene key, what you must not do, are you ready for this, Sally? You must no longer try. In the book, Richard calls this the bane of trying. And the key word for you now, instead of trying, is allowing. You allow this to unfold naturally with ease and grace.
This is such a validation, Peter. I can't believe this. Today, I've been like struggling with, and like to partner with anybody, and I keep trying. And then I was going to do a retreat with somebody, and I came to the conclusion that no, I have to do it myself.
Absolutely correct.
and to surrender.
Wonderful.
I can't tell you how much this is validating. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm getting all the goosebumps
wow.
now, Sally, so we know it's the truth.
Beautiful. All right, Sally. Much love. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. All right. Sounds like
Thank
the session
you.
Would be amazing. Okay. Well, stick around, Sally. Don't go anywhere. Okay. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Let's go to, I've got so many questions just from that single call, but I want to go to the calls. So, I have to take Derry, New Hampshire. This is 1657. You're on live.
Hi, blessings. Can you hear
hey,
me?
Blessings. Yes, is it Mark?
Yes, this is Mark.
Welcome.
So I was looking at that chart, and I was curious. I did a brief, I did the chart thing, and it came up on the Pearl as 31.1. Culture 33.2, and then vocation 34.6.
Okay, I can only look at one of them. You choose which one.
Okay, let's go with the Pearl 31.1.
The Pearl 31.1. Okay, so the first line spheres is always about how safe and secure you feel being in this world. So line one is about the certainty of being fully present in your body on this planet. And in the Pearl, specifically, you'll see there it says simplicity. And Richard talks about the whole Pearl sequence being about simplicity. This is true for all of us, so this is relevant for every listener. So it's actually the 23rd gene key where there's a tendency for us to overcomplicate things in life. And what we want to do is to simplify everything down to what really matters. So Richard talks about decluttering your space and decluttering your mind and keeping things as simple as possible. And this is in your work field. And then the 31st gene key is the gene key of, it's a gift for those people who have the ability to explain in words and language concepts that most people have difficulty explaining. It's a real gift. And the challenge with that is to make sure that whatever you are explaining, whatever you are doing, isn't for your own benefit, it is for the benefit of others. Because there's a tendency for the 31st gene key of arrogance to be doing it to seek recognition. And you'll see the city there is humility. So it's necessary. I have this gene key, by the way, and so does Richard Rudd in our vocation 31.1. And so this is about us being in a state of humility. And it actually says in the book in that gene key that we can actually become the voice box for God if we are in that humble state. So have that confidence that in your work you have the ability to tell the truth, to speak the truth, to download information directly from source, so long as you keep it simple and you stay in a state of humility.
Well, that was beautiful indeed. Thank you. Blessings to you, Ian, and thank you very much, sir. Blessings.
Blessings. Much love to you. Okay, let's go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, 2423, you're on live. Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Hello, my name's Tina, and I want to, under vocation, 64.6.
Is that vocation?
Yes.
Okay, so the vocation always contains the core wound as well. So 64.6. The line six in the core wound for you and your family lineage is isolation and separation. So there is a tendency for you to leave your body very easily, and you know when you have, because you're going to appear to be absent, or you're going to be hectic, running around like a headless chicken. So when you do separate and isolate yourself, it's very, very important that you nurture your physical body in whatever it needs to feel fully loved and appreciated. And only you can bring yourself back into the community when you're ready. That's the line six in the core wound. I'm going to come to the vocation in a moment. The 64, the shadow, is confusion. And that confusion is, should I toe the party line or should I be the rebel? And so this is not just you. This is your family lineage that have had that confusion. And it's often the case that at different times in your life, you do toe the party line, and at other times you become the rebel. So what you do want to do is to be the rebel with a cause, a clever rebel. And the 64th gene key is the final gene key of all, and it has a very strong creative expression flowing through it. So part of your work in the future is to use your creativity, and when you've healed that wound of separation and isolation, the sixth line is about having the bigger vision. It's about having the dream, the goal. It's not for you to get stuck in the nitty-gritty details. You ought to have the big vision. Why are we doing this? What's the point? Who's going to benefit? And using that creativity that you have to assist you on that journey.
Wow, that definitely sounds, just, yes.
Beautiful.
Hit the nail on the head.
Thanks, Tina. Thanks. Okay, much love to you. Beautiful. So, Peter, I've got a couple of questions. So, when, and maybe you'll talk about this later when you actually share about your session and the readings, but so you've got all these spheres. What are there? 11 spheres?
Yep.
So there's 11 spheres, and there's going to be an aspect that we either need to work on or an aspect that is revealed to us about ourselves. that will give us a direction in our life or help us to do some clearing or some work on ancestral work and some core wounds. Do we work with all of these spheres or some more important than others? And how does that part work?
That's a great question. So thank you for asking that. So the golden path is the journey that you go on through the spheres. So you start with the life's work and the evolution on the outside edge of you. Then you go to the radiance and purpose, which is the unconscious aspect of you. And then you come up into the Venus sequence. So the process is life's work, evolution, radiance, purpose, and up from the bottom into the attraction sphere, then the IQ, EQ, and the SQ, because we've got to go through these layers to release these inner locked up conditioned programs within us. So it is a layering process as we go through, and then ending up in the pearl sequence at the end for the vocation, culture, we go back to the life's work and down to the pearl. So there is a process that we go through. And typically in the sessions, what happens is, Ian, people who've already done a fair amount of their healing work get lots of validation and confirmation about why they did certain things, why certain things happened. What it does, it takes the emotional charge out of events that have happened in our lives, because it becomes clear this was supposed to happen. And I was given the opportunity to either get immersed in it and lose my way, or to transcend through it. And it's never too late. So as we go through, I have people in their 80s having sessions with me and still looking to find that inner truth, that divine essence of who they are. And so it just unravels very gently and very kindly these processes going back through time to set you free and to live this life of peace and contentment.
Beautiful. So these core wounds that we've inherited or that have been, you know, carried forward through generation to generation, so we have an opportunity to clear and release those core wounds. Does this reveal specifically what that core wound is for each person? You mentioned it was when, you know, you emerged from the womb, but is there also a trauma besides that event per se that is also revealed?
Yes, again, there are traumas that happen along the way. In the womb, for example, things take place, the moment of birth, and then any illnesses or events that take place in early childhood. And so these traumatic events add to the challenges that we face in overcoming these things. So, for example, one of the things that I've dealt with in the profiles is identical twins. Because identical twins, if they're born within a few minutes, come out with the same profile, but obviously their lives aren't the same. But what I've learned is in the womb, typically, one of the twins dominates the other. So they come out at the, you know, within a very few minutes of each other, but the actual frequency at which they're living their lives is quite different because of what's already happened in terms of being in the womb. So it's a map of discovery and curiosity and profound awarenesses and awakenings. And because life can't be understood from a logical, practical perspective. It's a mystery, and it's supposed to be a mystery, and we're supposed to treat it as a mystery. But when we get these incredible breakthrough moments of understanding of, oh, that's what that was about. That's why that happened. And there's this jump in your heart. There's an actual physical response inside you. It's called an epiphany. It's the 43rd gene key, where suddenly your heart breaks open, literally shatters. And sometimes that shattering is as a result of a traumatic event. But it opens you up to this realization and this awareness so that you can move on to your true calling, your true path, and live your life in a frequency of love. Because the ultimate goal in this whole process is for us to live with our hearts open, softly, gently, lovingly, and bring unconditional, universal love out into the world.
Yes. Yes. Oh, beautiful. The resonance is there. I can just feel you know, internally, but of course the whole community is resonating with these beautiful, beautiful words that you're sharing with us. So lovely. Yeah, I'd love to go to the web as well. There's some people who've put their question in the web. But before that, Peter, let's do this. I know people are very, very anxious to find out how they can work with you. So everyone, if you're on the webinar page, just go to the webinar page. If you're not there, if you'd like to click on the link to the session that Peter has, click on the orange button underneath Peter's smiling photograph on that page, and then you'll be taken to a page that says the Gene Keys. It's Peter's offer page. And if you're not on the webinar page, you'll actually need to type it in, as you know, and it's WOTA show, that's WOTAshow.com/Peter, P-E-T-E-R, and the number 5. So it's WOTAshow.com/Peter5, and that'll take you to Peter's Gene Keys page, which is the session that he's offering. So Peter, tell everyone through this. So, you know, just again, pretend that people haven't worked with you in the past, and just give us an overview of what your session includes.
Okay, so basically what happens is either I or the person themselves get their profile. So we both have the profile that we've just been discussing, and we will spend an hour together looking at all 11 spheres, the gene keys and the lines, and after they have given me their input in terms of what they would like to get out of the session, their intentions, it can be to do with some physical illnesses that they may have, it can be to do with relationships, it can be to do with the work, so I just invite them to let me know what they would like to get out of the session. And then we start tuning into the profile, and I will go around the profile explaining each of the gene keys and lines that they have and in the positions that they have. And according to what their particular life journey is and issues that have come up and traumas they've had or circumstances that have arisen, we'll start working together through their information and through the profile. And then what happens, Ian, is quite magical, is we sort of go into a portal of the profile and I start getting insights into how the different spheres interconnect with each other. And this is really a unique opportunity, because if you're going through the book or a text, then you're not getting that. You're just getting the standard fare of the golden path, the way that it works in the traditional sense. But what I tend to do is I see compelling triangles of spheres that interconnect with each other and lines that interconnect with each other. So I can delve into their beingness through the profile. And so it becomes this ongoing discussion for the hour of really getting details of where they are in their lives and where they want to go and how they can get there. So we spend this hour together, and it must be recorded, because there's so much information that's going to come through in a short time that they're going to want to go over that. So I tend to use Zoom as my main way of recording. And so, again, it's just if they want the session, they just send me the email, and we organize the time, and I will send them an introductory 20-minute audio, video, to show how the actual Golden Path profile works, so that we can spend that hour time together really delving deeply into their being. And I can tell you from my own perspective, Ian, it works. There is absolutely no question. I've gone through the Venus sequence, through the Pearl sequence, through the Golden Path, and if you commit your life to this transformational process, it works. And so you end up living your life in flow. Any poverty consciousness that you had dissolves away, and you attract different people into your life who are going to support you on your journey. And often those people that were in your life just dissolve away because they're not the same frequency. And you just step up into this higher way of being in your life. And you don't get triggered. You don't react. Stuff still happens, but you're in this much calmer, peaceful place to manage whatever comes up in your life.
Wonderful, beautiful, beautiful. Now, everyone, Peter and I did chat before we actually got together here, and Peter shared a few things about me, and I haven't had a full session, so I'm actually going to get a full session. There's no question I'm going to get a full session, absolutely. But the things that he did share, just like Sally earlier, It was amazing. The resonance is like, absolutely, that's me. That's me. And he shared things with me that were insightful, but also that intuitively I knew about them, but maybe I hadn't necessarily been acting upon them or living my life according to them. And so this just gives you that additional, not just, but that part of what he shared gave me that additional validation around, you know, ways that I can be. You know, it's not just living my life, but ways that I can be. And not just from a personal level, but also expanding out to, you know, how I can be for you, you know, in the wisdom community, you know, which is such a huge part of what I do. I do it for you. And he shared some beautiful, beautiful things around how I can continue to work with you that I felt were very, very genuine and insightful. So I really endorse this, really, really. I would, I'm absolutely going to get my own personal session, but just having that vision and that knowing and that validation, it just allows you to, you know, get to that place where you really want to be so much faster and without that, the encumbrances of, you know, the past wounds and trauma that you can release. So beautiful. Yeah, lovely session, Peter. Lovely for you to bring this to the show and to share this with everyone. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, so let's go back, as I mentioned, to the web, and people have put their numbers in. So there's no interaction here. So I'm just going to go through, and Judy from Tarzana is a Life's Work 32.2.
Ah, the Life's Work. Okay, this is great news. Life's Work, line two. You'll see there at the top it says dancer. And this means that you are supposed to dance through life with ease and grace. It's really important that you only do what you're good at. All the line two people in their life's work have a gift. They have a talent for something. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do. And you're not supposed to be doing anything that's a struggle or frustrating, because the shadow of the line two, it's the second chakra, it's the generating center in the body. So if you're in a state of frustration or struggle, then there's a tendency to project that frustration out onto another person. That's the line two. It's the other person. It's the second person. So very important. It lacks self-awareness. So it's really important to use your relationships with other people as a mirror back to you to show you how you are affecting them in your behavior, because it lacks self-awareness. So we use the other person as a mirror to see how we are impacting them. And the 32nd gene key, the shadow is the fear of failure. And that shadow is often imprinted into us as children, based upon the way in which our parents brought us up. And we're not blaming our parents, because our parents went through whatever they went through in their lives, and they operated at the consciousness that they were at that time. But what they believed was failure back in the day, we would probably not consider to be failure today, or even what we would consider success to be today. So with a 32nd life's work, it's really, really important that you get real clarity on what you consider success to be, and make sure there are no residual programs running inside you based upon a fear of failure to live up to the expectations of someone else. Each gene key has a programming partner, and they work off against you in the shadow, and they come in the life's work and the evolution. And the shadow of the 32nd is the 42nd, and the shadow is expectation. So this means others have expectations of you, and that's where the fear of failure comes in. So you want to clear that tendency out and really focus on what you consider to be success. And then the gift of preservation is cutting back to the true vine of who you truly are. And when you let go of all of the superfluous stuff, all the distractions, then you really create this core central column of certainty, and that's how you attract into your life those people who are going to work for you and with you. And finally, on the line two life's work, in the higher frequency of that is called your brand. And if you are involved in work, then what you do want to do is make sure that you have a very colorful image that represents your work, whether that be a website or a brochure, anything that you put out, you want to have very vibrant, colorful images which will attract people into your work.
Wow, wow. So, Judy, that was 5 minutes. So there's 55 minutes left in your private session. Wow, wow. Yeah, incredible. Yeah, so incredible. And then, of course, you know, Peter would take you down the golden path as well with you know, giving you guidance and insights along the way as well. So why don't we do this, Peter? If you could maybe intuitively just see what's the one thing that's coming through for everyone. So maybe just, you know, one thing that would be so helpful, because I've got a lot of people I'd like to get to some more people. So maybe you can just read like the one thing that's coming through, and then we'll move through like in a rapid fire fashion. Does that work for you? Would that be okay?
Well, I'll tell you what we can do is I can talk about that and then tie that into the meditation we're going to do. Because one of the ways in which I operate is working with the gene key profiles, but also with the energies of the time that we're going through right now. And so, for example, last week we had the new moon in Aries, which is all about the beginning of the journey. It's about me stepping on my journey. It's a very strong fire energy. It's a very masculine yang energy. But we're also in the 51st gene key, which is the gene key shadow of agitation. And that's on the fourth line. So it's been in operation now for 3 days. So a Saturday, for example, for me, felt like one of the most disruptive days I've experienced in a long time. You know, things just didn't work out. And it was because Uranus was conjunct the moon in the sign of Aries as well, after the new moon. So there was this very strong yang energy causing agitation in the world. At the same time, we are in the influence of Neptune and Venus conjunct in Pisces. And that's the very yin energy. So what we're needing to do right now is to bring our masculine yang energy into alignment with our feminine yin energy inside everybody. So we come to a personal inner balance. The most powerful yang energy in the gene keys is the 30th gene key. Anybody having the 30th gene key is likely to have this fiery energy which can cause inflammation inside and therefore cause digestive issues. So we want to cool that energy down in the process that we're going to be involving. So perhaps we can do that next year and then go to slam bam questions after that.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, it's so interesting because, you know, today, just if I can just share, man, my energy was low. And the thing is, I've been, you know, last week I do quite a bit of fasting and my energy is super, super high usually. And I feel good and clean and light energetically. And I, you know, I do what I can to keep my vibration high as part of my own personal practice. But today, it's like, what is going on? And, you know, so I'd love to, you know, work with some of the energies that you're explaining now to maybe shed some of the light that's going on. Because I was like, you know, I just want to go grab a bag of chips. And I didn't. So, you know,
I can explain that to you. So the moon was in Aries and now it's gone into Taurus. And Taurus is that very solid, stable, grounded energy. But it's also ruled by Venus in its most physical form. So this is all about sensuality and luxury and good food. And so why you want the bag of chips is to get some comfort food inside you.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So are you suggesting we do the process now, which I'm totally fine
with? Yeah, let's do the process now.
Beautiful.
So what this process is about, it's really helpful for everybody, but it's particularly helpful for people with the 30th or 29th gene key. They're a programming pair, and it creates burnout if you are fired up too much. So we're going to balance the fire yang energy with the water yin energy in an internal process. So if anybody's driving, please do not do this while you're driving. Pull over if you possibly can. or don't do it at all. It's a very simple and very powerful process. So wherever you are, just put everything down, and so obviously you can still listen. And I'm going to suggest that you clasp both hands over your lower belly. So your two hands are just resting on your lower belly below the navel, just very gently, very relaxed. Then you're going to close your eyes and just take some nice, gentle, slow, deep breaths. This energy today is all about slowing down, this Neptune-Venus conjunction in Pisces. It's slowing down. So just allow yourself to slow down now for a few moments. And just feel your belly expanding out as you breathe in. And when you reach the top of your breath, just pause just for a moment before you breathe out. And then feel your belly collapsing back towards your spine. Just very gently and easily breathing in, feeling your belly expand out, and breathing out and feeling it collapse back towards your spine. Now we're going to bring our consciousness down inside our body from inside the head. Very slowly and gently bring your consciousness down through the center of your head, down behind the eyes, the nose, the mouth. Very gently and easily down through the throat, down through the upper chest. And some of you may feel some resistance at going deeper down into your body, and that tells you something as well about how comfortable you are being in your body. So just keep going down, down the spine, behind the heart, down through the upper belly, behind the navel, and then just sense your consciousness inside your body, behind where your hands are warming your belly. This is the second sacral chakra. It's the energy generating center. So this is where the fire energy arises. So feel this warmth now glowing, this warm glow in your lower belly, right below where your hands are resting on your stomach. And now, in our imagination, we're going to build a cauldron of water above that warm glow in your lower belly. So this is in the main belly area, coming right up to the diaphragm. You're going to create this cauldron, and in the cauldron is this water. And now you're going to allow the heat down in that second chakra sacral area to heat up the water in the cauldron. And it's going to heat it up until it's just simmering. Just seeing little bubbles popping off the surface. And it's not going to overheat. It's just going to continue with these tiny little bubbles bursting off the top of the water. And in this process, what we're doing is using the fire energy to purify the emotional body in the belly. And we're using the water to temper the fire to keep it under control. And this process is called steaming. And it just brings us into a beautiful balance within, with our own personal yang, masculine fire energy, and our own internal yin, water energy. Balancing the yang, Aries energy that we're still in with the Neptune, Venus, Pisces energy in the yin. And finding the balance between these two is so important as the divine feminine returns back to full grace in balance and harmony with the masculine. So just spend a few moments just in your own meditation feeling into that. And if ever you're feeling anxious, explosive, over hot in your body, just drop into this very simple meditative process. You could even do it walking along the road, or if you're in a difficult telephone conversation, if you're with someone. Once you've practiced this a few times, it's really easy just to drop back down into it. And then you'll know when you're done, because the simmering will stop, the waters will become still, and you'll just very gently and easily return yourself back into full awareness in your physical body, just relaxing, feeling the soles of your feet on the ground, your lower legs, knees and thighs, back and stomach, hands, arms and shoulders, neck and head. And then when you're ready, just very gently open your eyes. And typically, Ian, through this process, everybody's energy just drops down to a much softer, gentler, slower vibration.
Right. Yeah, and of course, you know, as the vibration changes, so the bliss comes in. So I don't have anyone on my side here. I don't have a sidekick to finish this interview, so I'm... So it'll be me. You know, sometimes, you know, the meditations are so wonderful that I just wish I could just, you know, tune out. But, yeah. All right, my friend.
I understand.
So wonderful, so wonderful. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Okay. Let's, you know, before we do any more readings, is there anything that you wanted to share with the community again around maybe gene keys or the process or anything that's come to mind or has been, you know, downloaded to you in the last couple of minutes? Yeah.
So another really important piece for people to understand, this is actually the 15th gene key, and the 15th gene key includes something called the Schumann resonance. And the Schumann resonance is the natural heartbeat of Mother Earth. And it didn't change since it was first measured in 1953 at 7.8 hertz, until about 2 years ago. And it suddenly started to peak up to 20, 30, 40, 50. And then on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th this year, it went up to 150 for an extended period of time. So what the listeners need to know is Mother Earth herself is entraining us to a new brainwave frequency. And it can be misinterpreted as agitation or anxiety rather than a gift of awakening awareness. So if ever you're feeling that edginess, that sensitivity, it's important to get out into nature and ground yourself down and really tune in to where Mother Earth herself is in your own location where you are, and really spend some time getting in tune with her, slowing down, connecting with the water, the trees, the grass, the meadow, whatever it is that for you feels right. It can be with the birds, the animals, but it's about connecting with the natural world into her natural heartbeat, because she's assisting us in this process. And Ian, people are worried about what's happening in the world. It's so chaotic, and the political systems and the financial systems are all over the place. Well, let me tell you, Mother Earth is going to decide the outcome here. So don't worry about what's happening in the world, because she is going to run the show. And those of us that tune into her frequency are going to be the ones that are going to support others who can't understand what the heck's going on. And so most of your listeners are part of that tribe, the transition team, who are going to help people adjust to those new levels of frequency. So it's really important that we ourselves tune in to that. So again, if anybody's got the 15th gene key or feels connected to it, that's this gene key of the connection with Mother Earth.
Thank you for that insight and for sharing that. Yeah, so important, tuning in with Mother Earth. And absolutely, I echo what Peter's just saying right now. Peter's been saying, you know, getting out into nature and really just connecting in, just taking the time. It's a choice sometimes. It's a choice. And, you know, just having that in our awareness So thank you, Peter, for bringing that into our awareness again, so we can make those choices and decisions. So that, do we stay inside and we do something, or do we go outside and just really reconnect with the mother? But you know, the work that we're doing, again, thank you for the reminder, Peter, that we're the transition team. I've never really heard it put in that way before. The transition team, that really brings with it a certain degree of responsibility, which I think also, you know, parlays to your work, because when we have more awareness and more knowledge, we can then, you know, march our path, be on our path, surrender to our path, in a much better way. When we have that knowledge of what we can change, what we can clear, who we can be. Yeah, so important. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's go to the phones again. Oh, let's stay on the web. We're going to do the web first. Then we'll do some questions on the phone again. So star 2 if you are still looking to get in touch with Peter on the phone. Otherwise, we'll just go through some of these. So this is Kate from Napa, line 3, 38.3.
And where is it? Which sphere?
It just says line 3, 38.3. So
okay, that's fine. Okay. So it does depend where it is, but the line 3 is the emotional center. It's the solar plexus. So these people are the people that tend to have the most tumultuous lives on the inside. So this is the line 3 emotional center, and typically these people are at the center of their own soap opera. And what's important is for them to not get entangled in the emotional stuff that's going on around them. So they're actually here to witness all aspects of the human condition in all of its highs and all of its lows, and they're here to get an understanding of it, but not get embroiled in it. And the challenge with the 38th gene key coupled with the line 3 is this is the position of the warrior. So there's a tendency for the 38th gene key people to get involved in tussles around those emotional challenges. So what's really important with the 38th gene key is to make sure you only fight for a cause worth fighting for, which is on your true spiritual calling. There's a tendency to fight for the underdog, and occasionally that leads to the 38th gene key person being taken down themselves rather than the underdog.
Wonderful advice. Wonderful advice. Thank you. So this is Alina or Alina, excuse me if I mispronounce your name, from Toronto, Purpose 42.2.
Okay, so the 42.2 in the Purpose. So this, the Purpose is the most physical of the gene keys. So the line 2 is about posture. So whatever the circumstances are for her, what's most important is to be doing some form of activity where the spine is both strong and supple. And that's what leads to the correct posture for the line 2 in the Purpose. And the 42nd gene key, and which is one of my favorite lines from Richard's book, is in the shadow of expectation, waiting at the expectation station for a better life to come. And so what's important about the 42nd gene key is the recognition and realization that we are in the most sacred moment now. And the gift is detachment. So it's about detaching from the dramas of life, as I just described for the line 3, and celebrating every single moment, because the city is celebration, celebrating every single moment of your life, because every single moment is an opportunity for us to grow and learn spiritually. So the 42nd gene key is to live the moment now in deep, profound celebration.
Thank you so much. Okay, so this is staying with purpose. This is Narelle from Brisbane, Australia. 59.1, Purpose.
Okay, this is a tough gene key position. So 59.1, line 1 in the Purpose is actually the ancestral wounding is in the bones of this person.
Oof.
So this means that she This means that she has to get down into those densest bones in her body to clear it. That's the line one purpose. And the 59th gene key is a very unusual gene key in that it doesn't stand on its own. It's the only gene key where the issue in the shadow resides between you and another person. So it's not you when you're on your own. It's the aura that gets created between you and another person. And within that auric field, there's some level of distrust. So not everything gets revealed in the relationship. And it can lead to a sexual tension because there's a mystique or a mystery. I don't know everything here. And it can actually lead to the sexual act. And it can lead to children, obviously, but it's not based upon love. So the 59th gene key, people have to be very, very careful about their relationships, that they are in genuine, heart-centered, loving relationship. And the key words are transparency, honesty, and intimacy. So the 59-1 is a very deep wound that requires this completely transparent and open relationship. Interestingly, the city is called the return of Quetzalcoatl, which does take place on the spring equinox just a couple of weeks ago. So this is a great time, actually, to clear out that serpent, that shadow energy of the snake shedding its skin and transforming into the eagle, which is the higher form of Quetzalcoatl. So this is a really deep transformational process.
Yeah. So, you know, what you're hearing, everyone, you're hearing this amazing deep information and insight from Peter. Imagine what you could hear in an hour. So, you know, what we didn't mention, everyone, is that Peter's session is priced at $111. That's the total for 1 hour. I don't think you've seen that before. I mean, it's so generous. In fact, I had a conversation with Peter a little while ago, and Peter was insistent, no, this needs to be at this price so we can get it out to as many people as possible. This work needs to get out there. And, you know, if you're not looking at the page, and this is the first time you heard that, I'm sure that your jaws drop. For an hour-long session, it's almost unheard of. The magnitude of information you're going to receive, and it's going to be recorded, but the level of wisdom and insight that's going to be downloaded to you. And of course, you know, keep in mind that it's not just the words, it's the vibration that is going to be transmitted to you. So, you know, we're talking about a soul to soul conversation. You talk about Peter leading you down that golden path, and then also integrating the energies, not only of the gene keys, but also of Mother Earth as well. And bringing that wisdom, and the insight from Mother Earth in the session. So it's a very, very generous and amazing opportunity for everyone to get your chart read. And it actually gets better because you can do this in two payments if you like. So that's part of the deal here on the wisdom. We always split everything up because we want to make sure that as many people as resonate with this and as they can have the opportunity to get these sessions. So, Peter, thank you so much again for being here, for doing the readings, for sharing this amazing offer, and for the work that you're going to do with all these beautiful people who sign up to work with you. So thank you so much for everything.
Well, I'd just like to add in that the great thing about it is this is a journey only you can do. So what I'm doing is setting you up your own success. And the vast majority of people only ever need this one session, so long as they get the Gene Key book from Richard to look at the details of each of the 11 spheres that they have, the work in that 1 hour recorded is typically for most people all that they need to set them on this magnificent journey. One or two people do come back in the future, but most people don't need to. So this isn't an ongoing cost. This is a one-off thing that you get set on your own grail quest for your transformation and your inner peace and your inner longing for your true divine nature to emerge.
Beautiful. Well, Peter, thank you again. Thank you. It's really wonderful to share you with everyone and to share everyone with you because, you know, we're all in the collective consciousness. So thank you so much. It's been wonderful. Is there anything?
I just want to thank you for the work that you're doing in opening this door for people and being such a generous host. So thank you.
Of course. Okay. Well, sweet blessings, Peter. I know it's been a pleasure on this side. Thank you so much for being here. Much love to you.
Okay. Bless you now. Bless all the listeners. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now. And thank you, everyone, for being here at Beautiful Shining Lights, for bringing your amazing energy. It's been a wonderful show. Truly is a beautiful and generous offering by Peter. And then we also want to thank Divine Mother, Divine Father, Mother Earth, and Father Son. We want to thank the Ancient Ones, all the beautiful divine beings of love, light, power, and service. Thank you for bringing us together and supporting us and just helping us shine our lights and just really be the lights of the world who we're meant to be. So thank you all. Okay, much love. Bye now.